Father in heaven, this story that we've read today, this history that we've read today, can only be written by you. This is an amazing thing, that a virgin should be with child, and that she would bring forth her firstborn son and lay him in a manger, and that shepherds would be out in the field, and angels appear to them, and they are so moved by that they go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, and they marveled. And Mary pondered these things in her hearts, and Lord, today we marvel and we ponder these things in our hearts because they affect us. They're a matter of life and death. So we thank you, Jesus Christ, that you came into this world to save sinners and to give us life. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have gathered us together today to worship you and help us as we worship. Help us to have ears that are eager to hear and hearts that are moved toward Jesus Christ. Oh Lord God, how faithful you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and so there are four Advent candles lit today. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we're still waiting. We're waiting for the birth of Christ, so three more days until Christmas. But as we've been talking about through the Advent season, we're redeeming this idea of eagerly awaiting an event. So we eagerly await Christmas, and the commercial world around us has bemoaned the fact that Thanksgiving was so late and we don't have enough shopping days, and you know, if you procrastinated, you only have 3 days left and you're going to want to go shopping and get everything done, and you can't wait because on Christmas Day everything's going to be just right. And we've taken that idea of waiting and taken it back from the world, and we've redeemed it because we're not just expecting gifts and the other joys of Christmas, although those are wonderful things to enjoy. But we've added to that, or we've redeemed it by saying we're waiting for the Lord's return. We've seen His first coming, and now we await His second coming. So for the last three Sundays, we've seen Isaiah waiting, and the poor guy had to wait 700 years for the first coming of Christ. He was waiting for the salvation of God's people. And Isaiah's name, you know, we've been looking at the prophet Isaiah all these weeks, and his name means salvation. So his message from God to the people is about salvation. And Isaiah certainly knew the promises of God. But there was very little light, if any, shining in Isaiah's day. The people were wicked. The picture that we had from Isaiah 11 was a cut down forest, a once great forest, cut down, splintered, smoldering, burned down. Isaiah 11 painted that picture for us. And then Isaiah 35 talked about the wilderness and the parched land, a dry and thirsty land. The people of Isaiah's day needed a deliverer. They needed that king that would conquer all, that promised king from the line of David, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. This is who they needed. But instead, they had King Ahaz. Ahaz was a descendant of King David, and so that's a good standing. He's the grandson of King Uzziah, who was also a good king. But Ahaz didn't act like Uzziah or David or Solomon. Actually, Ahaz was very wicked. He was so wicked that he offered his own children in sacrifice to false gods. We're going to read about him today in Isaiah chapter 7. So if you have your Bible, you can open there. So Isaiah is the prophet of God during the time of wicked King Ahaz, 700 years before Jesus. But our focus this morning, although we're going to look at King Ahaz and his wickedness for a little bit, our focus this morning will be on the love of God. So the fourth candle that we have lit this morning represents the candle of love, the love of Christ shining into a very dark world. So despite the wicked culture of Isaiah's day and our day, despite the bleak outlook of Isaiah's day and our day, despite the wickedness of King Ahaz and the wicked leaders of our day, God in love speaks, and God in love keeps His promise, and God in love comes. This is our God of love. And that's, again, that's the theme. So the first candle, you might remember, was the candle of hope. And we lit that the first week of Advent. The second candle was lit for peace. The third candle represented joy. And now we come to the candle that represents love. And we're in Isaiah chapter 7. If you've been following the Advent readings that we handed out in November, this week you would have read Isaiah 7, 10 through 16. But for the context, we're going to start at verse 1. So if you have your Bibles open to Isaiah 7, you can follow along as I read Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. So here are these countries that are making war against Judah, and included in those countries is Israel. Remember, the kingdom of Israel had split up after King Solomon died, and his son took over. Jeroboam and Rehoboam had a fight, and there was a split, and you had all of these kings. You had all of these tribes that went up north, and that's the kingdom of Israel. They never had a king from the line of David. All their kings were wicked all the time. But in Judah, you only had a couple of tribes, and yet they had the king that was appointed by God from the line of David. So here is Israel, brothers with Judah, but they're making war against Judah. Okay, so that's the setup here. Verse 2, and it was told to the house of David, saying, serious forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart and the heart of the people were moved, as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, verse 3, go out now to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, so Isaiah to say to King Ahaz, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted, for those two stubs of smoking firebrands for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabal. Verse 7, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken so that it will not be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. This is God's word given to us for our good. It's not dry and boring history. This is actually pretty intense history, and shoved in the middle of all that intenseness or that intensity is that verse we all know at Christmas time. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So remember, Isaiah is an Old Testament prophet. He's bringing the message of God to the people. It is a loving God who reveals himself even when the people are wicked and don't deserve a message from God. And Isaiah's message is about salvation. The Lord is salvation. So here's Ahaz. He's a wicked king. He's in big trouble politically and spiritually. You remember that the nations are gathered against him. But instead of turning to God, like his grandfather Uzziah did. So if you read the history of Uzziah, you'll read what Uzziah did in repenting and turning to the Lord. Ahaz is not going to do that. Ahaz is going to go to the wrong people for help. He's going to rely on bribes. He's going to rely on other kings. He's going to put his trust in horses and chariots and wit. But it's not going to get him anywhere. There is no love on his part, even though the message from God is a message of love. But what we're going to see is King Ahaz is a reflection of us. We're in big trouble. Nations are poised against us. Our enemies are poised against us. And I don't mean America. I mean us, the church, us as individuals. We have enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil are fighting against us. And they're going to take us over unless we put our trust in the Lord. So Ahaz's basic problem is sin. Our basic problem is sin. And what we're going to learn, which Ahaz didn't learn, is we're going to learn to put our trust in God who loves us and gave himself for us. God demonstrates his love by sending his son into the world. He sends us a rescuer to save us from our sins. He's going to send us one who brings salvation, the one who was born on Christmas Day. That's why we celebrate. This is Emmanuel, God with us. So we start with wicked King Ahaz. And in the book of Chronicles, I'm going to read a passage from 2 Chronicles, and you don't need to turn there, but you can if you want. But just listen to the summary of Ahaz's reign. 2 Chronicles 28. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not know, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord as his father David had done. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made molded image for the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, under every green tree. This is quite a character study that we have here in King Ahaz. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Remember, we talked about Judah and Israel. Judah in the south, kings from the line of David, and Israel in the north, the wicked kings of Israel. And the way that Ahaz is described is that he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He didn't walk in the ways of the kings of Judah, but he's so wicked that he's numbered among the kings of Israel. Wicked from the beginning, from his 20-year-old start, 16 years of wicked reign by King Ahaz. With a legacy like that, walking in the ways of the kings of Israel, it's no surprise that the people of God are in some serious trouble. It goes on in 2 Chronicles this way. It says, therefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. Therefore the Lord his God delivered him. Because of his sin, because of his wickedness, he delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. They defeated him and carried away a great multitude of them as captives and brought them to Damascus. Then he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who defeated him with a great slaughter. For Pekah the son of Remaliah killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, killed Maaseiah, the king's son, Azrikam, the officer over the house, and Elkanah, who was second to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and they also took away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. So the Israelites came against the people in Judah and killed them and carried them away and took their goods. It's not a very Christmassy story. Under King Ahaz's reign of wickedness, 120,000 soldiers killed, 200,000 captives, and all the spoils of war. But then if you continue in 2 Chronicles, in this account of King Ahaz, in verses 9 through 15, there's this intervention made by God. And there's some relief from their enemies. So there's some relief from the Israelites who allowed the captives to go free. And so King Ahaz kind of has this reprieve. He has a little break. But he was in a very dangerous position. He's still surrounded by enemies on every side. The Philistines, the Edomites, Syria, and Israel, all poised once again to attack him. So where would this wicked and desperate King Ahaz, who came from the line of David, where would he go for help? Where would he look for help? Go back to Isaiah. Our text this morning, Isaiah 7, says this: "Then the Lord said to Isaiah, 'Go out now to meet Ahaz and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted.'" Doesn't that sound familiar? We heard those words last week spoken to us. Or if you're familiar with the story we read in Luke this morning, "Take heed, be quiet, do not fear." This is a message from God. This is a message from God to put your trust in Him. The message from God to wicked King Ahaz is take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted. And then he goes on to say this: "For those two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of resident Syria and the son of Remaliah, because all of them have plotted evil against you." Don't be afraid of them. They're smoldering stubs. There's really nothing to them. They want to go up against Judah and trouble it. They want to go up and make a gap in its wall and they want to take over. And this is what the Lord God says to Ahaz, even in his wickedness. Verse 6, "It shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass." This is what God said. God made a promise to them. It will not stand. It will not come to pass. God said these nations are coming to attack, but they're nothing. They're going to be snuffed out. King Ahaz, you are safe. It will not come to pass. This is the steadfast love of God. And really, that's our theme this morning. But we're looking at Ahaz going, how can he be such a hater? Why does he continue in his wickedness? The covenant faithfulness of God makes a promise to wicked King Ahaz that despite his wickedness, God would keep a man on the throne from the line of David. But there was a warning, and it came in verse 9. "If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established." And now we get to the Advent reading. It says this: "Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, 'Ask for a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above.'" Sometimes we do that. "Lord, give me a sign." And I think we do that out of faithlessness or doubt, and we do it rashly very often. But here is God telling King Ahaz, if you want to know for sure, then ask for a sign. And ask in the depth or in the height. You know what that means? Make it extravagant. Make it incredible. Make it supernaturally divine. Ask for a sign, King Ahaz, and I will show you. And you'll be certain. So what would you ask for? Would you even ask? It's an interesting thought. But remember who Ahaz is. Ahaz is a wicked king. A wicked king who has no love for God and his ways. He's He acts hatefully. Look at verse 12. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. So here he is, rejecting God's offer of a sign and even trying to make himself sound holy and righteous. I wouldn't ask the Lord for a sign. I'm not going to test the Lord. And yet what we're seeing in King Ahaz is total rebellion. When God says, ask for a sign, what do you think you should do? Yeah, ask for a sign. But instead, he refuses to ask for a sign, and instead he will go to the gods of the Assyrians. History tells us that King Ahaz built a temple identical to the Assyrian temple. He's going to put his trust in schemes. He's going to put his trust in bribes. And when God says ask for a sign, he refuses. Instead of obeying and trusting the Lord, he puts his trust in man. In other words, I'm not going to change my mind. I'm going to do what I want to do. And yet, people of God, this is what we know. God is on the throne. God is sovereign over all. And God overrules. And he gives King Ahaz a sign anyway. Look at verses 13 and 14. This is right after King Ahaz says, I will not ask God for a sign. Then he said, hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But you will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Ahaz, ask for a sign. No, I'm not going to ask for a sign. Okay, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. And it's going to be a supernaturally divine sign. It's going to be something that nobody else could ever do. It's going to be a sign that only God could do. God is going to sign his signature. Because who else could ever make this happen? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Nobody but God could do such a thing. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. And born of the Virgin Mary. Here is a promise that would be fulfilled 700 years in the future. But it's God's promised Messiah. God's Christ. God promised to be with us. And here it is. God with us. Emmanuel. Jesus Christ. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That's why this fourth candle burns for love. Because Christ in love demonstrates that love. By sending Jesus Christ into the world when we would not and could not rise to him, he draws near on the wings of grace to raise himself to us. That comes right from one of the Puritan prayers we had recently. When we would not and could not rise to him, he draws near on wings of grace to raise us to himself. When he sent his son, his only begotten Son, into the world, which is the waiting that the people needed. They needed Christ. They needed God with them. When God sent his Son into the world, it was God with us in a very new way. A way that Isaiah would announce in many of the messages he had for the people. And you can imagine that Isaiah couldn't fully comprehend everything there. He believed in faith. But he couldn't fully comprehend what this would mean. And then 700 years later, you get the baby in the manger because God is faithful to his covenant. He gives us his son. He gives us a king from the line of David. Before we move to our second point, we had our first point is the wicked King Ahaz. The second point is going to be the love of God in Christ Jesus. But let me recap King Ahaz so you can contrast the darkness and the light. King Ahaz totally rejected God. God's mercy is shown to him in abundance, very clearly presented. But instead, he makes this disastrous alliance with wicked people, the wicked people of Assyria. King Ahaz is unmoved by the promise of Emmanuel. And in the end, this is how 2 Chronicles records his end. Now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. That is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, "Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them, that they may help me." But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every single city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoked God to anger, the Lord God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and all his ways from first to last, indeed, they are written in the books of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Ahaz rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city in Jerusalem. What a wicked end to a wicked king. This hater of God becomes increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. And then he says, you know what? The kings of Syria helped them. I'm going to worship their gods. The ways of falsehood worked for them. Then I'm going to walk in the ways of falsehood. Idolatry, doubt, trusting in man. Ahaz hated the ways of God. His basic problem is sin. The application then is to see ourselves reflected in King Ahaz. Our idolatry becomes more apparent when, you know, the commercialism of the world is turned up to the 100th degree at Christmas time, playing to all of our lusts. We doubt God. And we look at what other people have and go, well, that worked for them. Maybe that'll work for me. Or that made them happy. Maybe that'll work for me. And we run after these other things. So we doubt God and we put our trust in man. Maybe it's government we put our trust in, or business, or friends, or ourselves, and our own schemes. We sacrifice time, money, talents for our own good pleasure. And instead of leading others to God, we lead them away from God, and we show them that we really put our trust in self. So just like Ahaz, our basic problem is pretty evident. It's sin. But the light of God's love is shining this morning, and we can put sin and Christmas together. How do we do that? Well, listen to what we've sung this Christmas season. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings known as far as the curse is found. Or come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Or hark the herald angels sing, mild he lays his glories by, born that man no more may die. Our problem is sin, sin leads to death. Jesus Christ comes to take care of sin and death. Sin and Christmas go together. Jesus came to set us free from sin's bondage, to rescue us from the wrath of God. Jesus Christ is the gift of gifts. He is the Savior of the world. God's solution for wicked man today is to put our trust in Christ for deliverance. Don't refuse like Ahaz. Don't refuse the Christmas gift, the gift of gifts. The treasure is before you. Leave all you have for the Christ of Christmas. Point number two, the love of King Jesus. Now we can turn to the New Testament. So if you have your Bible open there to Isaiah, let's fast forward 700 years and turn to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 24. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, and we could say the prophet Isaiah, saying, from Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Here's the arrival of King Jesus. Here's what the whole earth groaned and waited for. Groaned for and waited for, that the coming of the Christ child. He's very unlike King Ahaz. Unlike King Ahaz, King Jesus completely and fully obeyed God. Everything he did was in obedience to his Father because he loved God. And he loved God's people. God's mercy, God's grace, God's faithfulness, God's power, God's wisdom are all demonstrated and embodied in Christ Jesus. It's often called in Scripture the steadfast love of the Lord. As Pastor Guy was saying last Sunday night, you know, how could we miss what the blind man saw? How did Simeon and Anna know? These are things that God had brought to mind. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah 7, 700 years earlier. This is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise that Emmanuel, God, would be with us. So other Christmas hymns that we sing, angels from the realms of glory, what do we sing? Come and worship, come and worship. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King. Or angels we have heard on high, we sing, come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. You know, our culture today is not all that different from Isaiah's day. In Ahaz's day, violence was common, death was surrounding them. Today, violence is common and it seems to be elevated this Christmas season. Death surrounds us. Rulers hate God. They scorn His truth. And yet we're saying, as believers, we say, Merry Christmas. How can you have a Merry Christmas? How can we have peace on earth and mercy mild? How can we understand the love of God? You know, maybe it's a matter of just not reading the paper anymore or ignoring the cultural decline. Maybe we can just think happy thoughts and everything will be better. That's not what God calls us to. God calls us to let the joys of heaven, the joyful hopes and expectations of eternal life, He says, let that swallow up all of the sorrows of this world, of this present time. Let it swallow up all the misery of this present time, but also let it swallow up all the joy of this time. Our overarching joy, our overarching happiness comes because Christ has come into the world to reconcile God and man, to make peace with God. So we add to this picture of God coming, we add to that the love of God. The Lord has given us a sign. The virgin has given birth. Divine, supernatural act. No one could do this but God. And we proclaim it week after week after week. He was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And here we have God with us. Isaiah had to wait 700 years, but in these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. We behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has come. King of kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone Him. The lover of our souls, King Jesus. So on one picture, we have darkness, King Ahaz, and the wickedness that surrounds us even today. But on the other hand, we have the light of the love of Christ that breaks through all of the darkness, and we sing, Son of God, love's pure light. So we praise God as we go from Advent to Christmas Day, from Advent to arrival, the birth of King Jesus. Praise God for His love shown in the gift of gifts, His own Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this faithful word that is remembered throughout the ages. Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus Christ who has come for sinners that we might be saved. So, Lord, we look to You once again this day. In Jesus' name, amen.